Peace, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Long Way from the Block. I'm your host, Anthony Thomas. My next guest is a Juno-nominated Lebanese-Canadian drummer, composer, educator, and producer. I sat down with her at Dizzy's Club in New York City before her performance to talk jazz, her upbringing in Calgary, Canada, her role as an artist, and her approach to composing in the midst of current events happening in the world. We also discuss her most recent album, Duality. The album, as she says, tells the story of hope and resilience. Duality is the follow-up to her 2018 critically acclaimed album, Hawkeyes. Please welcome Sanaa Kadura. All right, welcome to my show. I appreciate you taking this time. Let's just get right into it. Can you just talk a little bit about your journey as a musician, composer, drummer, how this music came to you in your hometown when you were a child or in your early teens or whatever, and just what it was like hearing this music and taking this journey to become the musician you are today?
Well, I grew up in a small town then called Calgary, Alberta, Canada, which is, let's say, an interesting place. Early on, I was in the middle of a lot of Arabic music, and my mom loved Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Stevie Wonder. So a mix of Arabic music.
That's pretty amazing.
And, yeah, and those three really are kind of what I grew up on. And I was out of town on a little family trip, and there was a drum set sitting in the middle of this stage, and it was by itself, and everyone went off to do the activities, and I just sat there for hours, and something in me knew that was it for me.
Yeah.
But I wasn't allowed to play. So there was a piano and a bass and a guitar, and they'd said if you learn those and you take them seriously, we'll know you're serious about the drums.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thinking, you know, but me, I'm like, I'm going to show you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I went to like grade 9 Royal Conservatory in a couple of years on piano and bass and guitar. I was really into sports, and then it just...
Oh, nice.
It just flipped. Music took over my life and saved my life so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a stint in there where I was really into film and film scoring. And,
yeah.
But then I ended up going into schooling and did some there, and then finished my degree in Nova Scotia, and then did my master's down here in New York. And then I ended up staying here 10 years after that, mm-hmm. and working, you know, gigging, touring, recording, etc. And I think that was probably the only time that I really felt purposeful, that I was really doing something that mattered, you know?
Yeah.
I felt a fullness within me that was like dutiful, you know what I mean? How many of us are there that have had one song or one album that has got us through the hardest times in our lives, and we get to be that for people. You know, that is
so true.
That is the biggest honor. And I don't take that lightly. I am human, and sometimes I forget.
Yeah.
You know, when life beats you down, it's so hard that you can't tell which way is up. But someone always comes into my life at the right time and reminds me. So maybe that's God, the universe. I don't know, but I'm thankful for it.
Yeah.
And we got to keep going. We got to keep fighting for what is right.
Right.
Because this is not just music. This is resistance. This is an uprising, a revolution. And if we're just playing music, then we're not doing it right.
Yeah.
There's so much more in it. And I think those of us, the musicians that really feel that bigness, you know, that's when we can really elevate the music. Like they go hand in hand. Yeah. You know, it's a very spiritual thing.
Yeah.
It's a very,
No, I agree. Was it daunting for you early on to jump on the drums with the tradition of this specific genre of music, you know, knowing about the greats and Art Blakey and Max Roach and Elvin Jones? Did you feel, I love what they do, I'm inspired by them, but I can also contribute to this music on this instrument?
That took me a while to feel that way.
Yeah.
I grew up, so at the beginning it was a lot of Arabic music and, you know, Stevie and Michael and Whitney. My teenage years were more a lot of hip hop and rap.
Yeah.
Okay. So, jazz, I didn't know of it as a child, you know, but obviously everything that you listen to is, you know, especially here, is stemming from it somehow. There's something, there's that underlay, and it felt natural. It felt like this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. Even though I, at the beginning, I didn't know what it was. I just knew that this is it, and I need to learn everything about it, and I need to, you know. And then I dove in, and, you know, my top three obsessions were definitely Roy Haynes, Elvin, and Tony.
Okay.
And then, you know, at the beginning, you have to imitate, you have to, you have to gather. And then through that journey, you find your sound, your oneness.
Yeah.
And when that started to happen for me is when I started to feel I could contribute, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was watching some of your videos leading up to this, and something I noticed that I wanted to bring to the table is I like how you physically move when you're playing the drums. So it's like the music is swinging, but I feel like you are also swinging as a person. And it just comes through, at least watching the videos.
Yeah, it's hard to, there are times I try and focus, like it was definitely more earlier on for me. It's something that I want to feel that feeling, but you know, you can't be going crazy.
Right, right.
But there are definitely natural movements that I don't catch. You know, my body might do something when I'm hitting the cymbal a certain way. And that's just what comes out. As you know, if I get that sound, as long as I don't hurt myself and, you know, get back to some type of technique that, you know, then that's just how I feel.
Yeah, but you seem to really be having fun, for one. Mm. And you seem to be collaborating with the musicians in like a like almost like a spiritual way. Like you guys are really connected when you're playing.
I hope so. That's the goal. I'm not trying to play up there by myself.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, what can I, it's like this big ball of energy in the room, kind of above the bandstand sometimes. And how can we add to that? And how can we move it and manipulate it in a way that creates emotions and the audience can feel and heal. Like, you know, they're coming to us for something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can we show them that light for a little bit? Can we give them that moment?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, no, it is a very spiritual thing for me. Very, very connected.
Yeah. And we were talking before we recorded about the struggle of a musician and trying to express that this is not just about music, right? Mm. There's things going on in the world. There's things in our own personal life. There's just so many different things. But like I was saying, I felt that jazz music and the musicians have expressed it in such a high art form of doing it. You know, you think of like Max Roach, Freedom Now Suite.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, such a powerful piece of music, right? So he may not be protesting. Mm. He may not be walking out with a picket sign, but what he's doing musically can transform lives in a powerful way. And so I think you, with your background and with your interest in what's going on in the world, expressing that through your music is such a powerful tool.
Absolutely. I've been struggling the last Well, I mean, this is not the first aggression, right?
But, yeah.
This one feels a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are waking up and watching it while it's happening, and still, you know, people are still afraid to talk about it. And it's, I think that controlling of the minds is what it's scary. But my approach has always been, I have to do everything that I can. I have to do everything that I can. And, you know, we got to remember to focus on our strengths and give in the way that we might be able to do in a stronger way, right? So I do need to do it through my music. Mm-hmm. I also need to lead the protests. I also need to, you know.
Yeah.
And I do. I lead the protests on the Harabi drum, on the tabla, you know. So
yeah.
Carry that thing around in negative 30 degrees Celsius and just, you
right,
know.
Right.
But sometimes I forget that the proper, or not the proper, the healthiest way to protest is when you need to tap out for a day, someone can tap in, and I haven't been doing that.
Okay.
I got to remember that for me.
Right.
Because when you're in it, no matter what it is, sometimes, especially with an artist's mind, you're all in it. It takes all of you.
Yep, yep.
And sometimes you got to remember, hey, you need to eat some food.
Yeah.
You know?
Rest.
Yeah, just for a second, and then get back out there so you can keep doing what you're doing. And it translates to music as well. I did that in New York. I went so hard for 10 years, 4 gigs a night sometimes if I was in town.
Damn.
Like, yeah, 1 gig depletes you. I was just, it was very unhealthy.
Wow.
You know, now I like to look at the trees and meditate.
Yeah.
And And then when I'm in it, when I'm on stage, I can even be more connected. I could be, you know, more in line with source, universe, God, whatever that is for you, you know, which I think is something you learn as you get older, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Know? Yeah.
Partially probably because you just don't have the energy like you used to when you're in your 20s.
So true. So true.
We live and we learn.
But you're also an educator and a composer. So could you just talk a little bit about your process of composing pieces in the midst of everything that's going on, and you being out in the streets and, you know, on the ground, seeing things, being a part of things. Mm-hmm. How does that translate when you go to write something or write a piece?
Oh, well, it's a interesting set of emotions to go on, you know. I've always been someone that, it's all the time in my head. I've probably written hundreds of thousands of songs that I haven't written down. It's always moving. There's always, you know, the ones that stick are the ones that I can get to the piano or guitar fast enough.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But in these times, it's, you know, I'm feeling a lot of sadness and a lot of rage at the same time. So, but also hope,
yeah.
You know, so I feel like when I write music, I've never been someone that, okay, I'm going to sit down and write a song, you know what I mean? It's very, it has to be very organic for me. It has to come from what I'm feeling others are feeling, what is going on, you know. There's been a lot of Arabi music in my head lately. In the past, there's been some on the albums, like a little spice or, you know, mostly modern jazz, you know, a little neo-soul, some Arabi influences. Now I'm feeling Arabi influences a little. I'm feeling me more. I'm feeling unapologetically Arab right now for the first time in my life. I've been ashamed my whole life, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's how they program you. I mean, even myself growing up, watching movies, you know, white actors, black actors, Asian actors, I can't name a Arab actor. And if you see one portrayed in a movie, we're always a terrorist. So as a child seeing that, I was ashamed. I was bad. You know what I mean? And now I think being older and everything that's happening again, something broke and I was just, no. I'm done with that. And I think that kind of translated into every part of my life.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Even how I'm hearing, it's just like, I can't hide myself to make everyone else more comfortable right now. You know? I'm, which is so familiar by so many people that aren't white, and it's so sad, but we have to keep going.
Yeah. And I think that's a great breakthrough for you, especially moving forward, because Arabic music, to incorporate that more in what you're doing, could be very powerful, especially when you incorporate like chanting and just various percussion instruments.
Yeah,
like
that
can
rhythms,
be, yeah,
it's, you know, great. I've always shied away from, you know, something that was different. And now it's like, no, this isn't different for me.
Yeah.
You know, this is me. So I'm excited for you to see the show. We got a little bit of flavor in there.
Oh, nice. nice.
Cool. But this next album I'm working on is definitely very me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be great. Well, then that means you have to come back on.
Oh, it's
when that comes out.
It's gotta happen.
Well, before we leave, let's get into Duality just a little bit, so folks can know. It just came out very recently, right?
A year ago.
Oh, March. Yeah, a year ago. Yeah, exactly. I knew it was March 3rd. A year ago.
Yeah. It feels like yesterday. It also feels like 10 years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
But I put that one was, I don't know, maybe 9 to 10 months of just Duality. It was like my heart. I can't explain how much of my heart is in that album.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you real quick because I think you were talking about the album, and it says telling a story of hope and resilience, and that just kind of resonated with me, that you kind of used those words to describe what you were doing on the album, which I think just says a lot.
Yeah, it's that balance, you know, that balance between light and dark. We all have it.
Yeah.
We all struggle with it. It's that, I said this before, but it's sometimes it's easier to recognize a darkness in someone because we're so familiar with our darknesses.
Yeah, true.
But to be okay with the darkness, you know, it's not, it just is what it is. We can, it's how we look at everything, you know. Negativity, I see it differently from darkness. You know, but there's always going to be that search for balance between our light and our darkness. And I think in that acceptance that it's okay, that's where that hope comes from. Like, okay, brick by brick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be right now.
Yeah.
Nothing is ever going to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because now is already gone. So it's truly about the movement of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, I look forward to seeing you do your thing.
Oh, I can't wait.
And
it's gonna be a good one.
That's going to be great and exciting for me. And like I said earlier, I appreciate what you do. And a big part of what I do is to continue documenting all of you incredible musicians, even if it just is a slow move.
We need you.
I'm going to continue to tell people and share it, and I appreciate what you do. And just know that folks are definitely listening, and it's definitely making a difference.
You are making a difference, truly, honestly.
Yeah.
You are a light, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Peace.
A long way from the block.